Sunday in Advent is a little bit unique because the candle on the Advent wreath is a different color, and it is referred to Gaudete Sunday, or rose-colored or a pink candle, which simply means rejoice. So the third candle represents joy, or the shepherd's candle. So today, the message will focus on joy, and it'll continue the message we've been speaking during this of finding hope in this time of Advent as we prepare ourselves for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With that being said, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be here now, and so we ask, Lord, that you'll open our hearts and fill us with your Spirit as we focus this next time on you, worshiping you, and to you all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading of today is from the book of Isaiah, which Kelly will read.
The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festive oil instead of mourning, and splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees, planted by the Lord to glorify him. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the former devastations. They will renew the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and injustice. I will faithfully reward my people and make a permanent covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their posterity among the peoples. All who see them will recognize that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. I exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and wrapped me in a robe of righteousness, as a groom wears a turban and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth produces its growth, and as a garden enables what is sown to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Here is the first reading.
Good job. The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
The Gospel of our Lord according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, I am the voice crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God Almighty. Amen. So here we are, this third Sunday in Advent, in this year we call 1920, but no, it is 2020. A year that we will look back upon, and there'll probably be a big asterisk right next to it, and everybody will have their own story of what happened in 2020. Kelly will be telling her grandkids, I'm sure, some, hopefully many years from now. Well, let me tell you about 2020 and what happened then. So the stories will be long, the stories will be many, and I'm sure they'll become somewhat official for you. So here we are, 2020, we're in an empty church, basically, in this time of Advent, a time in which we would normally have many people here as the anticipation and the preparations in our hearts that we would be making for Christmas and the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A time for kids to be excited, knowing that the school calendar year was winding down, a time for our families to begin the preparation of family coming over for Christmas, a time of renewed hope, a time of peace in our hearts because we know here we are, it's going to be Christmas, and a time for joy, a time for joy. So let's take a look at this word joy, and what is the significance of it? When you read scripture, you hear the word rejoice a lot. Chris read today from Paul's first joy, and they're simply not the same thing. Everybody's going to say here in, what's today's date? The
13th,
in 18 days. They're going to stand there, and maybe with a toast, and they're going to say, Happy New Year. Rightfully so. I think many people are really looking forward to that moment this year to ring in a new year. But what exactly is happiness, and what is the difference between happiness and joy? And you're saying, well, gosh, what does it really matter? If people are happy, everything's good, right? The problem with happiness is it's kind of like putting water in a shopping cart. So if you took a bucket of water and you poured it in a shopping cart, and we know what they look like. Even it doesn't matter where you go, whether you're at Costco or Walmart or Publix, they all have a lot of holes in it. So the water is going to go right through it. So that's what happiness is. Happiness doesn't last. And what is joy? Well, author and minister S.D. Gordon explains joy, and I think this is really a good way to put it. Says joy is distinctly a Christian word and a Christian thing. It is the reverse of happiness. It is the result of what happens of an agreeable sort. Joy has its springs deep down inside, and that spring never runs dry, no matter what happens. Only Jesus gives that joy. He and that joy singing its music even on the cross itself. So did you pick up there the difference? To put it simply, happiness is tied to our circumstances. Joy is not. Joy is not. So in other words, our circumstances change, so our happiness can go away just like that. It's gone, right? But joy comes from a place deep within us that can never be taken away. And that's important. No one can take your joy away. No one. Because the joy doesn't come from what we do. The joy doesn't come from anything that anybody does around us or our circumstances. Joy comes from a place where it's abundant, where there's enough joy for not just me and you guys, but for everybody who's lived, everybody who's living, and everybody who's to come. Because that joy comes from God Himself through Christ. And that can never be taken away. So you say, okay, well, that's a good thing. Well, then how come Christians are always so miserable? That's a great question. That is a really great question that I don't have an answer for. It's probably because they're not digging deep down and rejoicing in those difficult times. And I know for 2020, it's been extremely difficult for many. So let's look at joy again. The beauty of joy, and why I think it's even more significant now, is how this joy exchange works. So if it comes from Christ and it's in us and it flows out of us, what has to happen? Well, we simply be, and people will recognize that, you know what, there's something different about that person. What is it? Why is it that during this time of just uncertainty, this time of struggle and trials and everything, they don't seem, there's just something different? Well, it's that confidence, that joy, that hope that comes from joy, because we know the source of the joy. So you say, okay, well, that's fine and dandy. What do we do with it? The beauty of joy here is not only can no one take it from you, but when we give it away, when we bring joy to those around us, it replenishes itself and it grows even greater. Don't let that get lost on you. So, when you're in a group of people and you're filled with joy, that joy transferred to others doesn't mean that you no longer have it. It's not like a money exchange where I go to the store and I buy a candy bar, which I probably shouldn't, but I will, and I give them my dollar. Well, I don't have that dollar anymore. Yeah, I get the candy bar, but as soon as I eat that, then I don't have it anymore. The difference is with joy is it continually replenishes. And the more we use it, just like when we flush our system, detox it of all this bad stuff around, the better it comes, the healthier we become, and our joy grows because we are growing in Christ and His love. So don't you think that's a pretty exciting thing? I really, really do. I really do. And so let's get back to the gospel. Let's talk about John. You know, last week I talked about John, and he knew what he was not. But he also knew who he was. People wanted him. You saw the questions here that they asked him. Are you the Christ? No. Well, then are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. Well, then who are you? Why should we listen to you? I'm here to make way the path of the Lord. The interesting thing was, if you go on further, when he spoke that, and he was baptizing, Jesus was right there. They didn't even know. They did not know. Don't you want people to know that Jesus is here with them? How do we do that? We do that by rejoicing. We do that by showing our joy. We do that by knowing, even when life is hard, life sucks, it stinks, and there seems to be no end in sight, we rejoice. We rejoice, as Paul says in Philippians 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And that, my friends, is why the significance of joy during this time of year of Advent is carried with us. And it's in that, deep in our soul, which our soul craves, to rejoice, knowing that He is who He is. God God loves you, and so do I. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. You and all that you've done for us, we could never comprehend all that you've done for us. We rejoice, Lord, in all of it. So we lift up to you now today the people who are really struggling, the people during this time of year who are isolated and separated and lonely. We pray, Father, that they will be reached out to by their family. If there's any conflict at all in families, that they will reach out, set hurt feelings, set aside pride, and simply reach out to those they love. We pray, Father, for our country. We pray for our nation. We pray for all of those who are out there. We pray, Lord, that these vaccines are as advertised, that they're even better, that this virus can be eradicated, that it will just simply be a footnote, and we can look back and say, boy, it drew us closer to you, and for that reason, we are grateful. Lord God, we pray for all those people who are away from their families during this time. We pray for the people in our military. We pray for the people serving abroad, our missionaries. Protect them and bring them home healthy and safe to their families. Dear Lord, we pray for this church, this congregation. We pray for our mission, that you will touch our hearts, that this church will always be a place that rejoices, always be a place where people feel welcome, that they can bring their cares and concerns to you. We thank you, dear Lord, for all you do. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, my friends, for being here. May your day be filled with joy.